dead altaris truma that was being eaten under the restrictions of truma, nifso gufo melechot betruma, then he becomes tummy, his body becomes tummy, that he becomes pasul and ineligible to eat from truma. And we said, what is the chiddush over here? We already learned this from Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said in the Braisa, shlishi sheni lekodesh ve'ein sheni letruma v'chulin shenas altaris truma. The what? Sheni hu deloy heve, ha-shlishi heve. That even though he won't be a sheni for truma, but he becomes a shlishi. The implication is he becomes shlishi for truma. If so, what's Ula telling us? What chiddush? So he says that no, there is a difference. That if it was just from that brisa, I would have thought that he's not a sheni or a shlishi. And therefore I need to say, Ula needed to tell me that over here. So we're up to Eis Veis, six lines up from the bottom of Lama Dalad Amud Beis. So now Rav Amnuna challenges Ula's ruling that if a person eats a shlishi of chulin shenasa al taras truma, that he becomes pasul and not allowed to eat truma. What does it say? Harishon shebuchulin tame ume tame. Something which is a rishon of tuma in chulin of chulin, that is tame itself, and it is metame, and it will metame something else. Okay, vasheni. But if something is a sheni in chulin, poisel. It the enoy metame, it makes something poisel, meaning it will be poisel truma, but that cannot, meaning not it's the end of the line, it will poisel something that will be the end of the line, that's truma, right? That will be truma, but it does not go any further, that cannot then be metame. And a shlishi, what is that? Rashi says a shlishi of chulin. Necho benezid hadema, a shlishi of chulin can be eaten, and this is with benezid dema, can be eaten in a stew which has truma in it. Rashi says a tafshal of truma that it got mixed.
Dema means like demai, doesn't it?
No, demua means that it's mixed in with. Mixed in. So it says it's a tavshil of truma that it got mixed in. Kagoin, for example, this shlishi over there. If it's a, for example, a mikveh of chulin, you had a porridge, a pea stew of chulin, and then this truma stuff got mixed in. Mutal says the soicha tavlin shel truma. So you're allowed to put in tavlin of truma and shum and shemen of truma, etc., etc., and you are allowed to eat it. Says Rashi. Now, what does it say? With the katani behu shlishi. Since it says shlishi, shema mina bechulin shenasin al taras truma. We're talking about, must be talking about chulin that's done al taras truma, because otherwise there's no shlishi bechulin. Well, if it's chulin gamur, then it wouldn't be any issue of a shlishi with chulin gamur. So it must be talking about chulin shenas al taras truma. And if it got mixed in with the real truma, it says you're allowed to eat it. Now. The E Amrasif, as Ula said, Nifso Gufo Melecho Bitruma, that if you eat a shlishi of Chulin Shenasa Al Taras Truma, you become possible and you're not allowed to eat Truma. But yet the Brisa says over here that you're allowed to eat the Nazir Adema. Safina Le Midi de Possel Le Lugufe. Would we tell you that you're allowed to eat something that you're possible, that you're not allowed to eat? Amalei, so he says, Hanach le Nazir Adema, that case of the Nazir Adema, of this porridge, this mixture of truma with a stew with a bit of truma mixed in, so that is different. Why? Deleka kazais bechtei achilas pras, because we're talking about a situation where there's no kazais bechtei achilas pras. Says Rashi, Dechiyuv oichel truma betumas haguf, if a person eats truma in a state of Tuma, lehevei ela b'kazayis, like all other isurei achila in the Torah, you only transgress if you eat a kazayis volume. Ve'en shum achila kishir mitzarefes ben kazayis dechol isurin uven kaseves liyom akipurim im sham mitchilas achilas hashir v'ad soifa yosem echtei achilas pras. So like this, that's if you eat pure truma in a state of tuma, you eat a kazayis, you're over. But when that truma is mixed in with something else, and you're eating from the mixture, you are only over when you eat a kazayis measure, bichdei achilas pras, within the amount of time it takes to eat half a loaf of bread, which is the normal course of eating. That's why we rush to eat the matzah on the Seder night, because you have to eat the kazayis, besoichdei achilas pras. That is not only in time, that is also in proportion. That it's got to be mixed in a way, in a ratio, that in one half pras, in achilas pras, in a pras measure of this stew, there will be present a kazayis of the Truma. Now, since we're talking about tavlin and things like that, we're talking about a case there is not kezayis bichtei achilas pras. In which case, even if you eat it, in which case it cannot become, you will not be oiver if you were to eat, even if you're tamei and you were to eat it. And therefore, that's why this case, it says you're allowed to eat the nazir adema. But usually, Ullah's ruling stands true, that if you eat a person who eats a shlishi lechulin, that was nas al taras truma, is not allowed to eat truma. This is an exceptional case. Because even if you didn't eat it, did eat it, you would not be in violation.
Is this mixture where it drops in, the truma drops into the pot, is it not bottled because it's a domashiyash matirin? Just as I think it's up, I'm just trying to get.
There's the issue of bittul, but to be,
be mavatal truma bichlal.
No, you can. One in 100 or 1 in 200. I don't remember the exact measure. You can have bittul of truma. But if it's tavlin, then it's avidil taima, etc. It doesn't become bottle. But you don't have to eat it al taras truma, because a whole gather of al taras truma is that you might come to eat truma as when you're tamei. And even if you were, there'll be no isur over here because you're not eating a kazayis bichtei achilas pras. And therefore, we don't go there in such a case on chulin shenas al taras truma. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yonasan, Amar Rabbi. Ha'eichel shlishi shel truma atzma. If a person ate a shlishi of actual truma, asur lecho umuter liga. So then he is not allowed to eat truma, but he is allowed to touch truma. This is talking about truma which is tahor. So if a person ate actual truma tmeya, truma which was a shlishi, so then he is not allowed to eat truma, but he's allowed to touch truma, and that won't be a problem. Now, this seems very similar to Ullah's ruling, who says that if you ate a shlishi of chulin shenas al taras truma, then you are not allowed to eat truma. And here he's saying you're not allowed to eat truma. Says the Gemara of Itzrich to Ullah, Itzrich to Rabbi Yonasan. But we need both the teachings of Ullah and Rabbi Yonasan. The imi to Ullah was just from the ruling of Ullah. I would have thought, hani mili b'chulin shenas al taras truma. That is because Ullah is talking about a case of chulin that was done al taras. It was chulin. It's not actual truma. It was chulin shenasu al taras truma. Aval truma, but if it was actual truma that you ate that was tamei, that was truma as a shlishi, then benigyan nami also. I would think that it's also even to touch it, because Ullah only talks about eating it. It says you're not allowed to eat truma. If you ate chulin shenasu al taras truma that was a shlishi, that was tamei, then you are not allowed to eat truma. So I would have thought that that's because we're not talking about actual truma that was tamei. We're talking about chulin shenas al taras truma, and therefore you're not allowed to eat it, but I would think truma, but if it was actual truma, then maybe Ullah would say, but again, nami also it's more strict, and therefore you cannot even touch it. It's strict, and therefore I need Rabbi Yonasan to tell you that even if you ate actual truma tamei, you're allowed to touch truma, you're just not allowed to eat it. The imid Rabbi Yonasan, and if I only had the ruling of Rabbi Yonasan, I would have thought, hani mili de truma. Why does he say that if you eat truma tame, that you are now not allowed to eat truma, but you are allowed to touch it? I would have thought that's because we're talking about actual truma. But if it was talking about chulin that was kept with the stringencies of truma, I would think bachil and amishari, you're allowed to even eat actual truma, and therefore tzrich, I need both rulings. Yasev Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Kamed Rav Nachman V'yasev Kamer. Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta was sitting in the presence of Rav Nachman, and he said, Ha'eichel Shlishi Shel Chulin Shenas Al Taras HaKoidesh. If a person eats a shlishi of chulin, so chulin which had tuma as a shlishi, now chulin does not have tuma v'shlishi, but because it's chulin shenas al taras HaKoidesh, because it's chulin which is eaten and kept with the stringencies of karbonas, therefore it can be treated as a shlishi midrabanan with stringency. Tahar lecho bakoidish. You are allowed to eat actual koidish. Why? She'ein lecha davar she'oiser revi bakoidish. Because nothing can be rendered as a fourth level of tumah for koidish. Ela koidish mekudosh bilvad, except for actual koidish that has been sanctified already. Now, what's koidish hamakudosh? So what makes something sanctified is the moment you consecrate it. This animal I'm going to consecrate as a carbon, it now has the status of kodesh. and has to be treated with the strictures of Kodesh. Kodesh HaMekudesh means that once that is that sanctified animal has now been sanctified, i.e. brought as a korban. Shechted and brought as
Does
a
that mean he's done
carbon.
The whole process? It's now a carbon, or you've delivered it to the mikdash and given it to
the shechita means it says elam kain. Rashi says elam kodesh mukodesh elam kain hayeshlishi shel kodesh mukodesh the hayeshlishi avid revi b'kodesh. Then that then a shlishi can make a revi b'kodesh. Why? Because a maile hid rabbanan. This that is sorry.
If it's alive, you're saying
no.
No. In other words, it had to be shechted.
But even beforehand, if it did, if the animal did get shechted beforehand, so he says, but it was a kodesh. But here, this rule that a shlishi can make a revi b'kodesh is an extra rabbinic stringency. Why? Because when we find the milos of choymer b'kodesh, it says that there are five milos, for the five milos achrenis are rabbinic, etc. But he says over here, what's called, down the next Rashi, kodesh mekudesh, kodesh gamur, Shekiddush gufoy. Not only have you sanctified its body, could go in basar carbon, like the meat of a carbon. V'chalos hatoida shenishchat hazevach aleihen umenachas shekidshu bekeli. That is kodesh mekudesh.
But it doesn't necessarily
mean it's kodesh bekedushas per loy. But if you just simply designated it, then not. Okay. So then says back in the Gemara. So he says.
The only designation could be like, for instance, designate flour.
Hektesh or whatever, I'm giving it, correct.
No, but a hektesh is better.
Could be on flour, it could be on, for flour for the menachos, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or the chalos for a toida and the like, mm-hmm. You're right. Okay, so he says as follows, she'en lecha davar she'oyser revi b'kodesh. So Rav Nachman said, Rav Yitzchak said that nothing can render something as a revi b'kodesh unless it is kodesh mekudesh bilvat. In which case he's not worried. He says you can eat a shlishi of chulin that was kept with the strictures of kodesh, and you're allowed to now eat kodesh because that cannot become a revi. It cannot become a revi unless it was something which was actually now sanctified in Beis HaMikdash by being offered. Masiv Rami Bar Chama, Rami Bar Chama challenged Rav Yitzchok's ruling. It says as follows: Shlishi, what did we say beforehand? I think it's Rabbi Yeshua. Shlishi Sheni LaKodesh. So it's something which is a shlishi, if a tumah becomes if chulin, this is a shlishi becomes a sheni, makes a sheni lakodesh, the ain sheni l'truma. And what are we talking about? Bechulin shanasa altaras truma. It's talking about chulin shanasa altaras truma, and which is amai, says the Gemara. Why is this? Halav kodesh mekudeshu. So why does it make it a sheni lakodesh? A shlishi. We said a shlishi makes a sheni lakodesh. Rav Yitzchak just says that a shlishi, right, cannot render something a kodesh tameh unless it's kodesh kodesh mekudesh, and yet here it says a shlishi makes a sheni kodesh. A shlishi is makes a sheni for kodesh. So he says halav kodesh mekudeshu. Amalei, so Rav Yitzchak says hanach l'truma, leave the case of truma shetarasa tumah hi etzel hakodesh. Like we saw before, the argument on the bottom of Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, I think Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. That actually we find a stringency in truma that it's the chulin shenasa altaras truma, that what is tahor for it is tamei for kodesh, and therefore we treat the kodesh more strictly. Umanat temra, why do I say that? The tanan we learned in the Mishnah, big day amaaretz medras leprushim. We spoke about tumas medras yesterday, that if something you put your weight on it by sitting on it or standing on it, it can re- if a, someone who's tamei like a nida or a zav or a matzoda stands on a bench, or sits on a chair, or sits on clothing, or whatever it is, tumas medras, that then becomes tame. So, if you have clothing of an ama aretz, now we know ama ratzim, they're careful with tuma and tara or not. So he says like this: clothing of an ama aretz, the presumption is that they are tame. They're medras leprushin, and therefore they are tame. A parush has to treat them as tame because maybe someone in the Amaretz's house sat on them while they were tummy. Fine. Big day Prushin. Now the big day Prushin and the clothes of Prushin, even themselves, who act more careful, nonetheless, medras lo oichle truma, they are considered like a medras for people who eat truma. Now who are the Prushin? So Rashi says Prushin are people who eat chulin betara, right? We know a chaver is someone who eats even chulin food, but with the stringencies of purity like it was truma. But even they who are strict, but their clothing we treat like a medrash with regards to kohenim who are actually eating truma, and therefore they have to be careful. And
always pushim and chaverim actions the same thing.
Prushim and Chaverim are the same thing, correct. But they're not the same as Koyanim eating Truma.
Porush, we're saying, is somebody who's like he's very careful about these things. A Chavar is someone who's a Chazoka. He's established as does a Porush have the same gether as a Chavar in that...
No, I'm not sure. My understanding was the same. Chavar is the status. And these people who
We accord him the honorary status or title of Chavar because he's established in a way.
He's saying Prushin is people oichle truma betara. Amar Rava, and then what does he say? And big day oichle truma midras lekodesh. And even those people who eat truma. So, for example, when it comes to kodesh and kodshim, so we find that servants of kohenim are not allowed to eat it. But servants of kohenim eat truma, so their clothing, right? Even though they're very careful with regards to truma, but their clothing with regards to kodesh, we have to treat as tameh and be careful. So what do we see? That which is tahor to make you tahor with regards to truma is tameh with regards to kodesh, and therefore that's why we say it goes a step further and can become a revi in this case. It becomes more strict in this case, that it becomes a sheni. Amar Rava, Rava said, Midrasos kamras. You're telling me about a case of midras? Shiny midrasos. Midras is an exceptional case. Why? Shema teshev alein ishtoi nida. That we're worried that maybe the wife who was a nida sat on it. And Rashi says over here, Shema yashva. Maybe she sat. Vafa gavto ichle truma mizdari ba shapir. Even though people who eat truma are generally very, very careful to preserve the tara of their food. Mila gabe kodesh loy avi shmira. But it's not sufficient guarding with regards to now eating kodesh. Why? V'chayshin en hoyo v'tuma metsuyihi. Because it's a very common thing. Right? A person has their wife's a nida. These types of things are very common. And you have things lying around the house, if it's bed sheets or if it's clothing or whatever it is. And it's a common thing, so it's not careful. You're not easy to watch over it. However, ava bepiri, but with regards to produce, fruit, and things like that, so then, lo yamrin, and then we do not say it. It says, Rashi de'ein tumasan mutsuya. And therefore, it's not likely that fruit will get tame, food will get tame. And therefore, if you watch them enough for the level of truma, that's enough to watch it for the status of kodesh. Says the Gemara of Rabbi Yitzchak. What about Rabbi Yitzchak who says that we're not worried? So he says, Bepirin, he says that you cannot make a revi for kodesh, meaning that truma and kodesh are treated with the same stricture. So he says, Bepirin nami, also with fruits, also, that's an except, we're not worried. He says we are worried about it. That is something you should be worried about. Nami Amma. So Masiv Rabbi Yirmi challenged, Medifti, Rabbi Yirmi Medifti challenged, and he says, Umi Amrinam Bepiri, do we really say this with regards to fruit and produce as well? The Hatnan, we learned in the Mishnah. Im Amar, if a person says, Hifrashti Lusaycha Revis Kodesh. This is talking about a case where a person has a barrel of wine which was Truma. So he says, Rashi says over here, it's talking about a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, in Yehuda, we trust the Amaratim with regards to wine of the Nesachim. Meaning, if wine which is for the Beis Hamikdash, for Kodesh, if an Amaret says that it is Tahar, then we trust them. V'emnu Rabbanim, why did the rabbis believe them? Because we're not going to believe you and let you bring your wine to the Beis HaMikdash, then you might go and build your own Mizbeach in your backyard and violate the over there. Now, so what do we see? We trust them, but with Truma, then they're going to go away.
The guys are going to want to try and make themselves, it says,
yeah, they're going to go. That's right, you're right. They're going to make their own paraduma to become tahor. But so it's like this: when it comes to kodesh, when it comes to wine for the Beis HaMikdash, we believe the amaret, but for his truma, we do not believe him. And what are we talking about? We're talking about where he now has a barrel of wine of truma. And the case is as follows. Back to the Gemara. Im Amrev, he says that in this barrel of Truma wine, Hifrashti L'soich Revi'is Kodesh. I have designated a Revi'is of this as Kodesh. So on the Kodesh, we believe him. But Truma, we don't believe him. And what do we say? Neman, he is believed. V'loi kam etamele Truma L'Kodesh. And what do we see? That the Truma does not render the Kodesh Tameh. And we just said beforehand that that Rav Yitzchak said that it does, that it renders it tummy. Be amras taras v'tuma. If you're going to tell me that like we just said before with regards to the medrash, that which is tahar for truma is tummy for kachim. So therefore he says v'i amras taras v'tuma he etzel hakodesh to tummy truma l'kodesh. What should happen is as follows. That this truma now, okay, we believe you on the kodesh, that revius of wine in the barrel that you've designated for nesachim. But the rest of the wine is truma. We don't trust you on your truma. And if we say that which is tahar for truma is tahar for kodesh, then the truma wine should defile the kodesh wine in the barrel, and none of it should be good. So says the Gemara, Amalei said to him, Tuma b'chiburin kamras. You're talking about the tuma where it's actually joined together. It's all in one barrel. Tuma b'chiburin shiny. It's a different case. Why? Dimigo d'mehemen akodesh mehemen nami atruma. Because like this, you can't differentiate. It's there. If he says in this barrel, part of this is now kodesh, it's for wine for the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to say we believe you, but at the same time we don't believe you on the truma, well then the truma is going to make the wine tame and you can't bring it. So you defeat the whole purpose of believing him. So in such a case, when we believe you, that extends also to the truma as well, not just to the wine which is designated for the nesachim.
You've designated it. It's still in the barrel.
The tara of the truma.
What does it say? You can't believe person in this and make it in this.
When it would be when by not believing on this would actually invalidate the belief that you give on that. Meaning, if I'm going to believe you on the wine, that it's tahar, but I don't believe you on the truma, but the truma and the wine are touching, and the truma would make the wine tummy. So I'm not believing you.
So one against the other.
So if I believe you in this case, normally if they were separate, yes, I believe you. If you have two separate barrels of wine, and he says, this one is for a carbon, for the nesachim, I believe you. This one is truma, I don't believe you, it's tahar. Fine, but because they're in one barrel together, right, I can't say, I believe you on this, but not on that. So therefore, because it is bechiburin, because it's joined together, I if I believe you on the kodesh, I believe you on the truma as well. That's also.
Okay, hang on. We said these amorats were not careful in Tumah and Tahara.
Both.
So hang on. So if the amorats comes and gives the coin Tumah, how does the coin know that this is
Tahara? He's not allowed to. That's a
set. But we're saying that they are. So what are we saying? We're saying the amorats hifrish Tumah. So hifrish Tumah. So therefore, he set aside Tumah. Therefore, the rest is chulin. But the Tumah that he hangs on, that we don't trust.
I'll give you an example. He gets a chaver comes and separates the Tumah for him.
Right.
So this barrel is a barrel of truma. And it's sitting in the Amaretz's house. But now I don't know, is he careful with the truma or the tara of it? And we say we don't believe him on the tara of it. So it has the status of truma tameya. Or it's treated like that. Okay, back to the Gemara. What's good for truma is not good for the temple. No, it's a higher level.
When you have wine, first you've got to separate the truma out of that, and then you can say now this wine I'm designating for the Beis HaMikdash. Well, even if it says this whole wine I'm separating for the Beis HaMikdash, he's not going to take truma out of it. But then the question is, what is the status of that
tumor? Okay, Moshe, let's keep going. Massive Rav Huna Bar Nassan. So Rav Huna Bar Nassan challenges and said, Hasheni shebechulin metame mashke chulin upoisol oichle truma. If I have a liquid of chulin, which was a sheni, now obviously, we're talking about, obviously a person's allowed to eat chulin, which is tamei. We're talking about people who are strict with it. So if you have a sheni of chulin, that can be metame mashkin, mashke of chulin. and it's poisel foods of truma. Now we saw this beforehand, is that liquids get kicked up a standing in truma. They're more in truma, they're more strict. So that's why it says if I have food which is a sheni, that can be metame mashke of chulin. It cannot be metame oichle truma, foods of truma. It's poisel oichle of truma, meaning that's the end of the line for the truma. Vashlishi, and if it's a shlishi of chulin, metame mashke koidish, it can defile mashke of koidish, upoisel oichle koidish, and it renders unfit the foods of koidish.
So this shlishi, which is metame the mashke koidish, it goes up to the status of a sheni now.
The liquid?
That liquid which now became tome from the shlishi.
Liquids that we say go up.
I'm not saying, we just said that it goes up a notch.
Yeah, it goes up with regards to liquid. Yeah.
So it now becomes a sheni, or it's also a shlishi. It doesn't drop.
It becomes a rishon. Liquids become a rishon. That was a gezeirah d'rabbanan. All liquids become a rishon. Correct. It becomes a rishon. Okay. Now he says, and what are we talking about over here? B'chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. We're talking about chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. Rashi says, koloimer be'elu chulin amru. Which chulin are we talking about that was tameh? Can shenasu al taras hakodesh? Uktania, what does it say? Da avid revi b'kodesh. But what did Rabbi Yitzchak say? It's only b'kodesh mukudesh. Not with regular kodesh. Says the Gemara Tanaihi. Really, it's a machlokes. The Tanya we learned in another brisa, chulin shenas al taras hakodesh, harehen kuchulin. They are like chulin. Rashi says there is no such thing as a shlishi. Just as in chulin, there's no such thing as a shlishi. So too, chulin which is done al taras hakodesh, there is no status of a shlishi. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Tzadik, Omer, harehen ketruma. They are like truma. What does it mean? They are like truma. Latame shnayim, that they can render two more levels of truma, lifsol echad, and be poisol one. So what does that mean? Rashi says, "Kedem mefarish latame shnayim lifsol echad koloimer harishon v'asheni tame bahen." That arishon and sheni is tame, v'ashlishi is poisol. The shlishi is posol. Ve'ena tame lasos revi, but it cannot make a revi. Afilu v'akodesh, even in kodesh. V'kivin da'ashmu inen v'didhu. And since we've taught here that it's not shaykh to have revi, sulay mikri shlishi didhu tame el apostel. Therefore, we call the third level apostel because it cannot go further. V'loy avid revi b'kodesh, it does not make a revi with regards to kodesh. V'hai tana sfir leik Rav Yitzchak, this tana holds like Rav Yitzchak, v'tana demasis and kamaisa paligale, and the tana of the previous price that we just quoted, he argues with Rav Yitzchak. And therefore, Rav Yitzchak will say there's not a problem. I hold like this tana, you hold like that tana. Okay, says the Gemara. Back to the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer Huchshur B'Shchita. Back to the Mishnah. Mishnah said if you shechted a behema chaya or oif, you have an animal, and you shechted, so, and your hands were tameh, so we said if there is blood, the meat becomes tameh. And that launched us in this whole discussion. Are we talking about chulin? Are we talking about kodshim? And that led to the sheni shlishi discussion.
Presumably the blood spritzed onto your hands and back onto the...
Oh, no, it was on the behema there, because you... You want the blood to come out, so therefore it becomes hukshul tumah. Rabbi Shimon says that it becomes, even if there was no blood, it becomes hukshul through the shchita. That was how we understood Rabbi Shimon. The shchita itself makes it chashuv, and that renders the meat now susceptible to tumah. So says the Gemara on this view of Rabbi Shimon, Am Ravasi, Oimer Hay Rabbi Shimon, shchitasim machsheres, v'loy dam. That it's the shchita, dafka, the shchita which renders it susceptible to tuma, but not blood. Says Rashi, what's the nafka mina? The nafka mina, the ilu nafal dam shchita al hazroim loy huchshuru loy mikri dam shchita mashke. He says as follows, that normally, why do we say blood renders something susceptible to tuma? Because blood is one of the liquids, one of the seven liquids. However, according to Rabbi Shimon, the way Rav Asi understands, is that the blood of the shchita is not considered a mashka, and therefore that blood bichlal does not render something susceptible to tumah. So even if that blood spritzed onto food, right, that blood would not render it now susceptible to tumah. If so, what is it with the carbon that renders it susceptible to tumah now? It's the shchita itself, only the shchita. So that's Rav Asi's view. The Lema, says the Gemara, let's say that this price supports, our Mishnah supports Rav Asi. What does it say? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Huchshuru b'shchita. My love, b'shchita v'loy bedam. Doesn't that seem to imply that it's, he's saying dafka the shchita renders us susceptible to tumah and not blood? Says the Gemara, loy, no. What is Rabbi Shimon telling you? Af b'shchita. He's saying even the shchita. Meaning he agrees with the Tanakhama that the blood would render it huchshuru tumah, able to receive tumah. And if that blood of the shchita did go on another foodstuff, it would render that he's telling you another thing, that even if there were no blood at all, the shchita itself also renders us susceptible to tumah. In which case, this Mishnah is lav dafka support for Rav Asi. Says the Gemara Toshma, so what is Rabbi Shimon's view? Come and learn. Amale and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said to the Chachamim, v'chi adam machshir. Is the dam what is machshir? An animal that it can become tomei, as a carbon becomes tomei. It's the shchita. Now, what does that seem to imply? That it's dafka the shchita. That it's not the blood. Says the Gemara, Hachi kamar lehen. No, this is what he's saying. Vechidam bevad machshir, is only blood. Something which is machshir makes the carbon able to become tomei. Af shchita nami machsheres. So he's talking about a case where there was no blood, and the Chachamim say, well, oh, tahor.
Animal, no blood.
Yeah. And the Chachamim say, oh, tahor. You shecht it with unclean hands, and the Chacham would say tahor. Rabbi Shimon says to him, is it only blood that renders us susceptible? Even the shchita does. So again, this brisa is not a support for Rav Asi. So Tashma, come and learn proof again. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, dam hameis einoi machshir, an animal which died by itself, says Rashi, that blood does not render the animal, the meat, or something else susceptible to tumah. Not the meat, because the meat would be in the veil over here, but something that it fell onto, went onto other foodstuff, it does not render it prepared for tumah. My love, what are we talking about? Had dam shchita machshir. What's the implication? We're saying the dam of the mace is not machshir. What does that imply? But dam of shchita is machshir. Says the Gemara, loy. This would be a ray against Rav Asi. So he says, loy, that's not the case. Hadam chalalim machshir. What is he telling us? That whilst the blood of the animal that passed, dies by itself is not machshir for tumah, but blood of an animal which has been wounded, that is machshir. Avadam shchita, but what about dam shchita? Mai? Loy machshir. There is not machshir. That's what you want to say. So the Braisa says the blood of an animal which dies by itself is not machshir. What does that imply? That the blood of a wound is machshir. What about shchita? You want to tell me that shchita is not machshir? If so, lishmain and dam shchita, then the Braisa should have told us that dam shchita is not machshir. V'kol shekein dam hameis. And kol shekein dam hameis. What's the kol shekein over here? So Rashi says, that it says like this. What's the issue? So if we said for blood to be considered as a liquid, for blood to render something susceptible to tumah is because it is considered as a liquid. Now, when it comes to shchita, so it says when you shecht, it says you should pour it out on the ground like water. So the pasuk says that the blood that comes from the shchita is like water, and nonetheless, it's still not metame machshir. It does not make something susceptible to tumah. So kol shekein dam hameis, where the pasuk doesn't equate it to a liquid, then I would learn that if even the blood of the shchita does not render something susceptible to tumah, kol shekein the blood of an animal which dies by itself. Says the Gemara, no, dam hameis itzrichalei. It needed to teach the case of dam hameis. Salka daita chamin, I might have thought to say, mali katle ihu, mali katle malachamavis. What's the difference? I would think, what's the difference between if the animal got, you killed it, or if it was killed by the malachamavis? What's it? I would think there's no difference. The animal dies by itself, or it dies because of dam chalolim, because of a wound. And therefore, I need to specifically teach the case of dam chalolim. Kamashmalan. Toshma, so come and learn proof from the following. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, dam magafasai einu machshir. Dam which comes from... No, so dam chalolim is when you kill the animal with other than shchita. That's dam chalolim. So you shoot it. But dam magafasai, the dam which comes from a wound, ein machshir, does not render something susceptible to tumah. My love, ha dam shchita machshir, isn't the implication that whereas blood from a wound does not render something susceptible to tumah, but blood of shchita does? Says Gemara, loy, not necessarily. Ha dam chalali machshir, it's coming to tell you that whilst blood of a wound does not render something susceptible to tumah, but blood of an animal which has been killed in a way other than shchita does render an animal susceptible to tumah. Our dam shchita mai, but if so, dam shchita, what are you telling me? Loy machshir does not cause the animal to become the food to become tummy. Lishmein and dam shchita, then it should have taught us the case of dam shchita, and I would learn kol shekein dam magafasoi, kol shekein the blood of a wound. Meaning, if even the blood of the shchita, which the Torah likens to water, nonetheless does not render something susceptible to tumah, kol shekein the blood from a wound shouldn't render something to tumah. But the fact that it doesn't say that and leave it to a kol shekein, and instead it teaches the case of dam magafasei, must be telling us that dam of shchita does render something tummy, susceptible to tumah. Says the Gemara, no. Dam magafasei itzrichalei, it had to teach the case of the blood from the wound. Why? Famous words, sakadaitach, I might have thought to say, ma'ali katle, kula ma'ali katle palga. When you wound an animal, that's a miniature form of killing it. So therefore, what is the difference between killing an animal, the blood that comes out through killing,
when it's half dead,
and the blood when it's from a wound, which is when it's half dead? I would have thought that it is the same. And therefore, it needs to teach clearly the case of dam magafasoi, that it is not machshir. That does not render something susceptible to tumah. Says the Gemara, umay shna dam chalol in de machshir. Hang on one second. You're telling me like this. An animal which dies by itself, its blood is not machshir. An animal which is dies through another method of killing, such as shooting with an arrow, shooting with a gun, or whatever it is, its blood is machshir. But dam shchita is not machshir. What's the difference between dam chalolim and dam shchita? So he says, what's the difference? Tichsiv, it says in the pasuk, v'dam chalolim yishte. You would drink the blood of chalolim, of the corpses, of those who've been killed. So what do I see from that? That is called a mashke. Dam chalolim is called yishte. You drink it. It's called a mashke. That's why it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk until
it doesn't mean literally.
You'll win over your enemies. It means you'll be like lion. It means you'll be like lions, and you'll win over your enemies. Like the lion that eats up the blood of its enemy.
But it wants to express it in a way. Victory in such a way that you reduce so much out of it.
Yeah.
So that you're the blood.
Right. But what do we learn out?
Yishte. Makes it so it's liquid.
It tells you that dam chalonim is a liquid, and liquids can render something susceptible to tumah. If so, shchitanami, I'll tell you, but shchit is not chalonim. But we have a pasuk. Again, you have to remember, tumah v'tara gzeidus hakosov. So shchitanami, but shchit it says, ksiv ala ares tishbachenu kamayim. Pour the blood out on the ground like water. So dam shchita is also called a liquid. We just use the pasuk in Rashi. In Rashi says the Gemara, "Hahul le mishrei daman de psulei hamukdashin bahana." That pasuk is already used for something else, to tell you that if you have blood of an ineligible carbon, Rashi says after it's been redeemed, nonetheless you are not allowed to use. Hahul le mishrei, you are allowed to use the blood from it for your own personal benefit, says Rashi. La'ach sheniftu, after you redeem this carbon, which is pasul, so ma mai mutarim ba'ana, the pasuk is telling us that just, why does it say the blood you pour like water? Just as water is something you're allowed to have hana from, so too the blood of the psulei mukdashim you're also allowed to have hana from. Because this pasuk is talking about psulei mukdashim, and therefore it's not free to tell you, it's not free to learn out that the dam shchita is like a liquid.
What did you do? You redeemed it.
You redeemed it.
An animal, and then you bought with the money. You bought kochim, but you got this animal now. Whatever happens with it.
Well, we need the limud to tell you that it's mutar ba'ana.
And mutar ba'ana to the extent that even the blood is okay. The blood is mutar.
Well, he's saying you aftam. I guess maybe you think because the blood is supposed to go on the mizbeach that the blood is
separate,
you're not allowed to use.
From the rest of the animal.
Maybe. And therefore, aftam, even the blood, is something that you are allowed to have hanal from. And since that posuk is not free to learn out that it's considered a liquid, therefore we remain with our status quo. He says, Huda. So why Salta the Chamin? I think Hoyo Vasiri begins of Avoida. Ah, you're right. So since this animal, once it's Psulim Mikdashim, you designate something as a korban, then it becomes Pasul. It's still a live animal. So you are not allowed to shear it, and you're not allowed to do Avoida with it. Meaning, even though it's now Chulin, me, you've redeemed it, but it's got certain strictures that people shouldn't see that you're using korbanos for your own benefit. So you're not allowed to shear it, and you're not allowed to work with it.
So
And I would think that maybe it's blood you're not allowed to use, you've got to bury it. Kamash Malan, therefore it comes to tell us this pasuk, that even the blood you are allowed to use. In which case, again, we're back at the point where dam mesa is blood of an animal which died by itself, and the blood comes out by itself, does not render something susceptible to tumah. Dam magafaso, blood from a wound, also does not render something susceptible to tumah. Dam chalolim, blood from an animal which is killed in a way other than shchita, does render food susceptible to tumah, because the pasuk says yishte, you will drink it, whereas dam shchita does not render something susceptible to tumah.
Your final morning is
tomorrow.